This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jerome McGinley's mom, 500 goals.
Up at center, coming in as Lowe. Bill with Dyke center net.
Gets it again. That's the shot. They score!
Happy Halloween, Calgary Flames fans. Maybe the Flames will dress up as another team tonight and win. Hey, I'm Brad Brood, host of the show Flames Unfiltered, episode number 10. An early season disappointment has totally set in with me. I am bordering on panic. I'm honestly bordering on panic. The only reason that I'm not in full panic mode right now is that when I open up the standings, I see that we are only 5 points out of first place in our division. Not too bad. Problem, we got four teams between us and the Edmonton Oilers who are in first place. But this is doable. Now we need to get things a lot better than they are right now. A lot better. I don't even think I can state that any more importantly. But the standings have kept my sanity and allowed me to not hit that panic button. One thing that has scared me a lot is that the Flames have had nobody other than Elias Lindholm score a goal in the last six periods of hockey. That's damn frightening. I don't like it. The lacrosse-style goal scored by Svechnikov on Tuesday night pretty much sums up the start to the Flames season. It was a beauty. I'll give them that. When do we hit the panic button? I don't know, man. I'm damn close, and I'm seriously worried, but it's not time yet, Flames fans.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is proud to be part of, has some exciting news to announce. Former NHL player Terry Ryan, who you've heard on Spittin' Chicklets, unbelievable interview, must listen, has joined our network, and he will be having a weekly show called Tales of TR, a hockey podcast. Check it out in the near future.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Now it's time to talk game recap, and let's talk about that Tuesday night game that drove Calgary Flames fans just batty. I wasn't irate after the game. I just kind of more sat in just in awe. Didn't even know what to say. Calgary started out really good. First period, Lindholm gets a goal pretty early in the game. 1-0 Calgary. Latter part of the first period, Backlund gets a goal. It's disallowed because it was offside and Tkachuk was offside. The right call was made. It was actually a call that it's like, this is why the instant replay is in effect. It was that blatantly offside. I thought it was a good period for the Flames. My favorite part of the period was when Gio backhand clotheslined one of the Hurricanes players. I can't remember who it was right now. But my favorite part of that play was that Dougie Hamilton was kind of the guy that came over to be the tough guy. And I just was like, oh man, so wanted Gio just to be like, I am going to kick your ass right now. Didn't happen, but I was hoping. Second period, Calgary gets a power play chance, has five scoring chances, five shots. I mean, they were unbelievable power play. No goals. Later in the period, as the period went on, it kind of got away from the Flames. Just slowly got away. Turnovers became more prevalent. Bennett and Brody just seemed to struggle just on the little plays, and they weren't the only two, not just picking on them. But it just seemed like some of the little chip outs weren't happening, and some of the just little things just were not happening for the Flames. And that's pretty much how the whole year has been. Third period started and it was shades of LA Kings games. Carolina outshoots them 10-0 to start the period. Calgary had two penalties in that time frame. Then it happened. Svechnikov with the lacrosse style goal. It's 1-1. I'm not blaming Riddick on anything in this game, to be honest with you. Nothing. Not at all. 4:30 mark, Svechnikov gets his second. 2-1 Carolina. And the Flames are reeling and in trouble. Hamilton takes a penalty with 2:30-ish to go in the game. Calgary's going to head to that power play, which was good in the second period. Unsuccessful, but good. Calgary gets four shots. They're only four shots of the period. No goals. The game ends 2-1 Carolina. And I don't know. This was just one of those games that you just were like, did this really happen? Did this really happen? It was just disappointing because the way Calgary came out, I was actually pretty impressed. I thought it was a good start. I thought the first line, the lines were in a blender, so they were all over the place. I don't even remember who was with who. I do know that it was Lindholm on the first line with Gaudreau and Tkachuk, and I thought that line actually looked pretty darn good. Just no results. Just couldn't get results. So hopefully we're two games in to a five-game road trip. Flames got to get it figured out. They've got to get it figured out. They got to get some points here down the stretch of this road trip.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
So, the offseason. Let's talk. I can't believe we're going back to talk about the offseason because when we were in the offseason, we were just couldn't wait to talk about hockey. But we're going back because remember, Flames fans, what was our biggest stressor in the offseason? What were people talking about in Flames land? The most common questions heard were, can Riddick handle being a starter? Can Talbot rejuvenate his career? Will we have a 1A and 1B, or will Riddick take charge? Where are we going with goalie? Are they going to hold up? Are they going to be okay? We're a damn good hockey team. Are the goaltenders going to be okay? It's pretty ironic. We never heard anybody say, man, I wonder if Monahan's going to get a pull back together. He's been garbage since the All-Star break. Is he going to be okay? We didn't hear the question. Gaudreau was a non-factor in the playoffs. Is he going to get things going again and be the top five goal scorer that he was earlier in the year last year? We never heard anything like that. We heard, man, we better trade Brody. We didn't hear any of those questions. We pinned everything on the goaltending and all the problems were going to be the goaltending this year. And it's funny because you know what? The only problem we haven't had is the goaltending. Everything we worried about all offseason has been our only bright spot. It's funny how the world works that way sometimes, isn't it? It's really ironic. Sometimes we all just need to relax and let things fall into place. And I think maybe that's what the Flames team needs to do right now, is relax. Did a poll today on Calgary Flames fans, which is a page on Facebook I recommend. If you're a Calgary Flames fan, go on there, join the group. It's a great, great group. They post some crazy things when the times get tough, but we all are a little irrational as fans sometimes. Great hockey talk with a great group of Flames fans. Get on there and join that page. But I posted a question today on there, and it was, what is the biggest reason for the early season struggles? Now, I named five different things. I named power play inactivity. I named goaltending. Lack of bottom six production. The fact that we allow 30-plus shots on net per game. Lack of scoring from the first line. And work ethic. Here are the results. Number one, 66% of the people who took the poll, which was quite a number of people, and I think everybody that did, and all the comments were a lot of fun to read too. Work ethic came in first place as the biggest problem for the early season struggles. 66% of the polled people said it was the Flames' work ethic. I can't disagree. That scares me. Because if you're an NHL team and your biggest problem is you're not working hard, that's a problem. That is a big, big problem. In second place was lack of scoring from the first line. 22% of the people said that. This is where I fell into, as this was my thing. I am a firm believer that if your first line is not going and your superstars are not producing, you will not be successful in the National Hockey League. You just won't. Plain and simple. And they've been garbage this year. Our top six has been garbage, with the exception of Elias Lindholm. He's our best player right now. In third was allowing 30-plus shots per game. This is so rare. I'm shocked that at this stage of this team with this defensive core that we're still worrying about 30-plus shots a night. We need to tighten up this system. 11% of the polled people felt that this is the biggest problem. This is probably my second pick. That's a problem. In fourth place on the poll, lack of bottom six production. I tell you what, I think it is a problem, but it's sure not as big a problem as the lack of production from the first line. We got to get that going, and then we'll worry about the bottom six. Depth doesn't matter if your scorers aren't scoring. That's for damn sure. In fifth, goaltending with 1%. I don't know who picked that, but that's crazy. And number six was power play inactivity at 1% also. And that kind of falls into place with first line scoring in a way, in an indirect way. I don't know, Flames fans. I'm hoping that 6 weeks from now, we can all listen back on these and go, man, were we freaking out over nothing? We might be able to do that. We might be. You know, I look at another thing and another key part, and that's anger management. I think the Flames fans are having as hard a time with anger management as the team is. Frustration is really, really showing with this team this year. And rightfully so. But quite honestly, banging your stick and throwing a fit like we've seen Gaudreau do a few times sure as hell isn't going to make the puck go in the net. I don't like that. I don't like it when players do this. And I'm not just trying to pick on Gaudreau today, even though he's got me pretty upset. Not as bad as he had me in the playoffs last year, but I'm still a little bit frustrated. The only way we're going to get out of this slump is to bear down and work through it. And being pissy about it and pouting about it doesn't make it go away quicker. And it's the same thing for the Flames fans. I've been as critical of this team as anybody else out there. And I've freaked out numerous times on these podcasts or on Twitter. I guess I don't regret that, but I still don't believe it's time to hit the panic button. The collapse on Tuesday night in Carolina really rubbed me the wrong way, though. It made me angry when we got shelled in LA and shelled in Vegas. That was anger. This was worry and disappointment. And usually after that stage is panic button. You can't get, we're still in reach of the standings. We can get back into this. But we can't let this go on a whole lot longer. You can't get these points back that we're letting get away right now. You just can't. So what we need, and here's my idea, is we kind of need a complete team reboot. And I don't know if it happens on this road trip or not. It sounds like, to me, this would be the time to do it. But Bill Peterson needs to go back to his normal lines. He needs to talk to the players and tell them to relax. Put the game into the players' hands. He's tried everything else. He's tried switching the lines up, which I'm a complete proponent. He needs to put this in on the players and say, you guys are professionals. Let's put the lines back to what you're comfortable with and let's work out of this. You're great hockey players. Give them some confidence and let's go with it. This is not a coaching issue. I've heard people complaining about Peters and Peters should get fired. Three coaches in 6 years. This sure as hell isn't a coaching problem. This is a player problem. This needs to be thrown on the players to get out of this. And if they don't get out of this in 20 games, then it's time to move a big piece. And I'm talking big like Monahan or big like Gaudreau. I personally would move Gaudreau. Because I don't think he's re-signing here anyways. And quite honestly, the way his attitude's been lately, I don't even think it's healthy for the team. No, I'm not in the locker room, and no, I'm not there on a day-to-day basis. And I'm reading body language on the ice. So maybe that isn't fair of me to say. But I'm guessing if your body language is like that on the ice, your body language is probably like that off the ice. Now, this morning I listened to the Fan 960, and I'm going to tell you, right now, hockey fans, that was the funniest half hour of discussion I have heard in years. I laughed so hard. It was almost therapeutic to relieve me of the anger of the Flames. Like, I went in this morning with the anger from last night's loss. And after listening to the guys on Fan 960, they brightened my day. I laughed pretty dang hard. It's a must listen. Go on Sportsnet 960 and listen to it. They archive everything. It's on there. But Brett Kron lost it. And he told the guys to go out in Nashville, eat burgers, throw all this diet stuff out the window, eat some burgers, drink some whiskey, miss curfew, and have a blast. He said to come to morning skate tomorrow smelling like whiskey, have the coach chew your ass and play guilty. Play guilty. It was an epic rant. I loved every second of it. But I think the team needs to hit the reset button. I think the fans need to hit the reset button. I think we need to chill out a bit. We need to relax. It's not time to hit the panic button yet. It's time to chill and let this come to him. In some Flames news, Tobias Rieder was put on waivers and cleared. What that does for the team is that allows the team 30 days to be able to send him up and down between Stockton and Calgary without him being claimed. That gives the team a little bit of roster flexibility in a year where we have no cap space and no roster flexibility, which isn't helping matters at all. Hamonic. His agent stated that they will not have contract talks until the end of the season. A lot of fans jumped to conclusions on what that meant. I'm not going to lie. I initially kind of was freaking a little bit, but I don't think we should freak too hard. I don't think we should freak too hard on this one. I think it's critical that we get Hamonic signed for a variety of different reasons. The first being, I think he's our best player. He's our best player on the back end, and that's no slight on Gio. I think, obviously, Giordano, the Norris Trophy winner, was the king last year. And I think he's been good this year. I don't think he's been great this year. But you're not going to get a harder competitor and a better team player than Travis Hamonic. He will stick his neck on the line for his teammates, and Gio will too. So I don't even, I'm not trying to compare the two. It worries me a little bit, I'm not going to lie, but hopefully, just hopefully, they can get that worked out.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
The Hockey Podcast Network and Flames Unfiltered is very excited to announce a partnership with Gong Show Hockey Apparel. Check out that website, find yourself some cool hockey apparel, and we thank them for their partnership. Now it's time to take a little trip around the National Hockey League. Let's talk about some other teams and some other things going on in the National Hockey League. And then we'll roll into the fan question, which is another good Facebook poll. And wrap it up with some very, very, very abbreviated previews to the weekend's games. Mostly because I'm done speculating. I just want to sit back and watch this team. Roman Josi signs a new contract in Nashville. In a time where no teams have any cap space, somehow David Poile was able to lock up his number one defenseman. Now, Josi's been playing with a $4 million cap hit since 2013-14, making him probably the biggest bang for your buck talent in the entire league. The defenseman, who's a phenomenal skater, signed Tuesday, 8 years, $72.242 million. Amazing. Cap hit of $9.059 million per season, which is a big price tag. It puts him in right under Carlson and Doughty, which probably is, I don't know, probably where he belongs. Great defenseman. Every team in the league would love to have him. It's just crazy, though, when teams are struggling for cap space and you see contracts signed like that, it's like, oh, I wonder who's going to be heading out the door in Nashville to make room for that bad boy. Oh. Svechnikov scores this lacrosse style goal against us on Tuesday. Definitely a must see. Probably an early goal of the year candidate. We see a few guys try it. Kachuk tried it and almost pulled it off. Was it last year? I don't know. This year there's been some pretty good goals, though. Blake Como's one-handed falling goal. Right? Like, was it night two of the season or something? Like night one? That was a beauty. Sonny Milano's through the legs last week was a sweet goal. We've had some good ones this year. Some really good ones. Oilers captain Connor McDavid collected an assist in his 300th regular season National Hockey League game. And yes, Flames fans, we're talking Oilers. Through 300 games played, he is sitting at 394 points, which is 11th place. And the reason I'm talking about this is just because I want to put this in perspective. We all think Connor McDavid is a top-end player, like probably the best in the league. I argued, I go back and forth. I thought McKinnon is through the roof too, but let's put this in perspective, though. His 394 points in 300 games played. Here's who his competitors are. Wayne Gretzky had 661 in his first 300 games. That is crazy. Mario Lemieux, 547. Peter Stastny, 470. Eric Lindros, 439. Mike Bossy, 425. Brian Trottier, 410. Sid the Kid, 407 in his first 300. Kent Nielsen, 401. Yari Curry, 401. Denny Savard, 400. Connor McDavid sits at 394. That's 11th all time. Pretty impressive feat for Connor McDavid. Let's move on to the fan question of the week. I didn't do a question this week. I did a poll. Another poll. I kind of was in the poll mood this week, obviously. Flames Hub Facebook page. Get on there, join the group. Another great group. I got three of them. I'll talk the next one. Next week's episode, I'll plug the other one. These Facebook pages are a lot of fun. When you're watching games, you can talk Flames hockey with other Flames fans. You'll agree with some, you'll disagree with others, but it's a lot of fun. Poll this week on there was, who is the most disappointing Flames forward thus far this season. Milan Lucic, Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, or Sam Bennett? Poll results were good. Lots of people entered. Lots of people commented. Thanks for every comment and every vote. I love talking hockey with you guys. Number one player that's not player, forward that is disappointed the most this season, Sean Monahan. Am I surprised by that? I don't know. Number two was Johnny Gaudreau at 40%. Monahan was at 54%. They led the pack by a long shot. I'll read off the rest and we'll talk about the top two. Sam Bennett came in at 3%. Milan Lucic, 3%. Matthew Tkachuk, 0%. Now, who would I pick? Monahan or Gaudreau for the worst or most disappointing Flames forward thus far? I would pick Gaudreau. When you got a guy that put up 99 points last year, come on, you expect a little bit more, don't you? I do. And Sean Monahan, as much as he's frustrated me, I felt like there's been games where I've seen strides. And you know, I could say that about Gaudreau too, because I thought he was good in the outdoor game. I actually thought he was good Tuesday night in the first period. Is this going to be a case where we just, Gaudreau gets a couple and then the floodgates open? Maybe that's the case for Monahan too. Is that what we need? Just a night where we put up six and then everything changes? But I feel like, you know, when we went and we beat Detroit and we beat Philadelphia, everybody's like, oh, everything's okay. Everything's okay. We're winning. Yeah, it was against two crummy teams. We haven't beat a good team this year. But we're not going to unless Monahan and Gaudreau get things going. People are really frustrated with Monahan. A lot of people are. Is he injured? I don't think he's injured. He's winning faceoffs at a really good pace. Way above, or above last year. I shouldn't say way above, but above last year. I don't think he's hurt. I think this is Sean Monahan. Have we been thinking he's way better than he actually is? I don't know. I do know that we need both Monahan and Gaudreau to get this thing going. And we need them to get it going quick. Game previews. We have a jam-packed weekend full of hockey, Flames hockey, which kind of stinks because you want these games jam-packed when your team is playing good, not when they're struggling. And Thursday night, Halloween, that's probably not what the doctor ordered. Do you want to go into Nashville, one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League? One where Pekka Rinne has literally shut the door. He's not letting anything in. And a team that has struggled terribly to put the puck in the net comes into town. He's got to be licking his chops. It's going to be tough to get a point on this one. It really is. And I'm just being realistic. Can the Flames do it? Yeah. But they're going to have to put together 60 full minutes tomorrow night. And the first line is going to have to produce for us to get 2 points. Saturday, we roll into Columbus. Columbus, a team that's kind of been struggling all year, but have put together some pretty good outings. It's a team that usually plays the Flames hard. And actually, the Flames' success in Columbus hasn't been very good. Now, this is a different team this year. We roll in there Saturday night. And this is probably on the final three games of this road trip, our best opportunity to get 2 points. We back it up with a back-to-back Sunday in Washington. The Flames lost to the Capitals earlier this year in a 6-5 overtime game. Can we hold Ovechkin off? Can we get the puck by Holtby? Who knows, maybe Holtby won't even be a net that night. It's going to be 6 points on the line in the next 4 days, and they are all going to be tough. This is critical. This is 3 games left of a 5-game road stand, and we need to put together some wins and get some points, because it's nice that we're going home, but man, if we go home with no points out of these final 6 points available, the panic button's probably going to get hit. I'm not sure what that means, because as much as all of us sometimes want to say trade, sometimes that isn't the best alternative either. And the fact that it's really hard to trade when there's no cap.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
Flames bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and going down McKinnis. They've got their sweats on and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.